The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
You got to deal with damn the Swifties this year.
Yeah.
Right? Like, was there, well, tell us about that. Was there ever a moment during the year where you were like, whoa, you know, tell your wife in secret, like, I don't know, this might be too much for us?
She sincerely enjoys the game.
Yeah.
And kind of behind the scenes, she, you know, to fit in, I she didn't even know she was doing this, I don't think.
But, right.
You know, she likes to cook, so she made the offensive linemen these homemade Pop-Tarts.
Oh, wow.
So it was over.
What? Right, Taylor Swift homemade Pop-Tarts?
Yeah, so it was over. She knew right where to go.
The right to go.
Yeah. Did you get one?
Did they give you one?
Right.
Did they give you one?
No, she didn't give me one.
I'm like, damn.
And the offensive linemen definitely didn't give me one.
Right.
You know, that was the biggest news to come out of the first day of the scouting combine.
Hey, listen.
With all the different coaches and general managers. Oh, wait, I'm supposed to do the scene set. I've already
failed.
Come on,
would you learn
that's
how to
Lucas
host
Oil
a damn
Stadium.
Show?
That's Lucas Oil
we're
Stadium.
In
this is Indianapolis.
I mean,
where is everybody?
ABC.
Where the hell is everybody today? Yesterday,
I know.
It was jam-packed. Today, it's 7 a.m. Everybody's hungover, I think.
Oh, definitely. There's definitely
not
some
me,
people
baby.
Out.
I got plenty of sleep last night. I feel great.
Did they, you didn't get the pressure to go out? I mean, that's the one thing about this trip. It's always like, hey, we're going to go to here to the bar. Do you want to go here?
Nope. Had work to do, had to go to sleep.
We were in Vegas for, you know, 9 days, right? So I also was like a little bit of overkill that 9 days, then had a little vacation, right? So you know me, I don't have a break. So it's like, it's I press the gas and I go, and it's too much drinking.
All gas,
smoky,
no breaks.
Right?
I'm all gas, no breaks. I have not seen Happy Chris yet this week.
Well,
so Happy
he was
Chris
there.
Has been making the rounds.
He was there last night.
You
know, but you ditched us.
You got to be careful about half of that in Indiana.
Everybody keeps saying that. Be careful
you smell
about
it everywhere.
That. But I smell it everywhere, so I joined the party and I added to the smell. That's what I do. I mean, come
all
on.
Right. Well, but, you got 2 more days before the authorities will show up here and just make an arrest at the Indiana Convention Center. Today, things will start a little more slowly. We were on the air from 12 to 3 yesterday. We ended up having 15 different coaches and general managers. It was just dizzying. And once we were live, like we taped some before, once we got going, here comes this guy, here comes that guy.
You just get on a roll, and you're like,
off
we
go. We
haven't seen these guys. It's good to talk to them.
What will happen today is we'll have some prospects coming through. Defensive linemen and linebacker and edge rushers are going to be coming through. We've got a bunch of them maybe after the show. I don't know how many during the show, but we'll have all the clips available. You'll find them on YouTube at our NFL on NBC page. We'll post them on PFT. We'll see if we can get any of them to give us something as good as Andy Reid.
Does anybody else know Taylor Swift? Can we, you know, go viral any other way? I mean, seriously, even at the combine. I mean, he brings her up. He talks about the homemade.
Well, you brought her up.
Well, I know I brought her up.
But we didn't I mean, he volunteered the Pop-Tart
right
thing. That was not the result of some great interrogation skills by us.
And
he went right to the Pop-Tart.
No, exactly. I'm just curious because I'm like, damn, it's the biggest superstar in the world, right? I mean, I don't think there's anybody that compares to Taylor Swift right now. I mean, you hear it. They don't have enough flights to go to Australia to see concerts. I mean, it's every day. She's still in the news. It's incredible. But, like, I'm telling you, when we got out of here, within an hour after the show, I had people texting me that I haven't heard from and whatever who are following the Swifties online and, oh, my gosh, I can't believe the stuff Andy Reid said to you about. I'm still amazed by the power, the outreach of Taylor Swift and the Swifties. It's incredible. It really is.
And I guess I'm not amazed that Andy Reid's thought would go directly to Pop-Tarts.
Hey,
he seems like a guy who likes a good Pop-Tart.
He feels like he's got a chip on his shoulder. He's like, why the hell did I not get one?
Yeah.
You know? He's like, come on.
Either she dropped the ball by not saving him one, or she just assumed that they would share.
She
but that's the one thing
line.
you right. can't assume when it comes to offensive linemen. Right. There is no sharing.
They're cows that graze in the corner of the field forever. They'll steal all the grass until you put a hot poker on their butt, and then they'll move around a little bit. So, you're not getting anything. If it's good and it goes in the O-line room, you're not seeing it again.
Well, that was unexpected yesterday. And there was other stuff that we knew would be topics. We didn't know exactly what the vibe would be. We didn't know what folks would say. One of our big takeaways from yesterday after talking to Bears GM Ryan Poles, after hearing what he had to say when he spoke at one of the podiums
right.
behind us, after hearing what Coach Matt Eberflus
yeah,
had
right.
to say, that caused us to come to some conclusions about what they're going to do at quarterback. That's the question of the moment. Let's hear a little bit from Coach Matt Eberflus from yesterday at the podium on what he's looking for in a potential franchise quarterback.
I look at situations. You know, I look at the guys that can operate third down, 2 minute, in the end of the game situations. That to me is that's a separator for me. And then you look at toughness. You know, you got to look, and toughness for a quarterback really is about the mental toughness to be able to stand in the pocket and deliver the ball, and then also have the discernment to be able to move out of the pocket and create when it's necessary. So, and they come on all different shapes and sizes. But it's always been fun to evaluate those guys.
You know, when you talk about attributes in a franchise quarterback that you're looking for, it's very easy for outsiders to conclude you don't have those in the guy you currently have.
Agreed.
And the question they're trying to resolve, and maybe they've already resolved it, do you keep Justin Fields and trade that first overall pick, or do you take Caleb Williams with the first overall pick and trade Justin Fields? And between what Eberflus said, what Poles said,
right.
what he said here, the stuff that you picked up from the conversation, it feels like
yes.
Justin Fields is available
right.
and that they're going to take Caleb Williams. The question becomes, what are you going to get for Justin Fields?
Right.
That's the question.
And that's where the urgency does come into play here.
Especially when
right.
they're not being as coy as they could be
no.
about what they're looking for, because it's allowing this door to open. And maybe they're just trying to entice somebody to contact them about
you.
Fields.
Right.
Maybe they haven't heard much about Fields right. other than exploratory stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe they're trying to entice someone to say, you know what, they really are thinking about trading Fields. This is the time to explore what it would cost to get him versus signing one of these other guys that might be available. And that's the point I think that you made yesterday that's excellent. They can't sit around and wait.
No, they cannot.
Because teams that have quarterback needs are going to fill them with other available options.
Yeah.
Guys, you don't have to trade for. This is the worst year, I think, to try to trade a quarterback. There's too many other guys out there
yeah.
that are going to be available where you
too.
Don't have to give
right.
anything up.
Right, yeah, and the draft affects that as well. I'm with you, Mike. It is tough. That's why, I don't think Ryan Poles backed down from that question when he asked him. He talked about urgency, you know. I saw even after he left us, he made other quotes where, yes, we'd like to figure this out in the next, 10 days, 2 weeks, get it done. I understand that too. Right. You talk to people around the NFL. I think they all feel like it's going the way we're kind of talking, portraying right now. I don't think there's any question about that. I feel like yesterday it was a little bit of like talking about the quarterback using in past tense, but using present tense talking like he's still here. But we're looking for this kind of guy. Right. We're looking for first off the things they brought there. Are things that I think are the most questionable things about Justin Fields' game right now. So to me, that was a direct, I don't want to say a shot, a disrespect, anything like that. It wasn't that. But I think the things that you look at as a football player about Justin Fields and go, wait, all right, he checks the box in a lot of areas. The things they brought up, Ryan Poles or Eberflus, right, are things that the box has not been checked on Justin Fields yet. So that to me was kind of a glaring admission of like, hey, we're looking for a guy that can do something that the guy we have doesn't have. Like, well, that's what we need. I think you add that together, what you hear around the league, the things we've talked about a little bit, the fact that it is real. Justin Fields stopped following the Chicago Bears. He and his representation, they got things where they were like, hey, we're not sure you're going to be back. So he knows that already. And I would think if you had to make me guess that there's things that are farther down the road in the Justin Fields conversation than we would even know already. I think because they know they got to get this done and get it going.
And how about this for an idea?
Right.
They know what they want to do.
Yep.
They have yet to have anyone reach out to them with a viable offer. And they're starting to get a little antsy.
Sure.
So let's poke the bear a little bit, no pun intended, although I'll take it. Let's poke the bear a little bit, and maybe Justin Fields will do something more than just not follow the Bears on social media. Maybe Fields will come out and say, I want to be traded. Because then it's understandable that you accommodate him.
Yeah, it takes the pressure off the Bears.
And if you don't get a lot for him,
right.
See, I think that's the challenge. You're playing it close to the vest. You're waiting for somebody to call you. You want to try to get the best possible deal you can. And if that's not working, okay, we're going to do a bad deal for Justin Fields.
Right.
If we do a bad deal under circumstances where everyone's like, well, how are they supposed to do a good deal? We don't look bad. I mean, again, I don't want to make it too complicated, but it also feels kind of simple to me. Like, we're not getting the offers we want, so maybe we can instigate him to say,
yeah, sure.
Trade me,
right.
And then we just have to do a bargain basement deal, and no one's going to say, you idiots, you didn't get nearly what you could have gotten for Justin Fields.
Yeah,
does that make any sense?
Yeah, no, I hear what you say. They're trying to move the market here a little bit, get it going, right?
You need two teams. So see, if you're not going to keep him, and everybody knows you're not going to keep
him,
you need two teams to be jostling to try to get him, because if it's just one, just sit there and wait. Like you were saying yesterday, what are you going to do with him?
Right.
In
if
late
it's
March.
One team, right, they're going to be like, what are you going to do? You're going to have Justin Fields and Caleb Williams in the locker room? Tell me how DJ Moore is going to work that one out. And be like, oh, wait, Caleb's taking the first reps, but I vouched for Justin Fields, and there's a bunch of other – that'll divide the locker room.
I got one other idea, though.
Yeah,
there's one other idea. It's the Josh Rosen approach.
Yeah,
you hold him until after round one. Because after round one, anybody that decided we didn't get the guy we wanted in free agency,
right,
we'll see what we can get on draft day. You get through round one – we don't have anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
Now you give up a second-round pick. Like, who traded for? The Cardinals? Traded to the Dolphins, I think.
Yeah, to the Dolphins.
To the Dolphins for a second-round pick after the Cardinals drafted Kyler Murray. So maybe that's the way to do it. In that 18-hour window between the end of round one and the start of round two, somebody who didn't sign a free agent, didn't trade for anybody else, didn't draft someone in round one, still needs a quarterback.
Right.
Now there's a market
that's
for Justin
risky.
Fields.
That's all.
Oh, it's very risky.
Right. Because you do get to the point where, hey, we did sign somebody in free agency, so we were like, we weren't sure you were going to get Justin Fields. Nobody's just going to have an open, like, slotted starting quarterback, right? They're going to have somebody. So then that, I think, will hurt the Bears' leverage overall, too, because, again, the teams are going to be like, well, we got a quarterback, and it's late in the game now, and you're desperate. So, again, I think back to our original thing, I think, you know, what you're sniffing out, what I'm sniffing out, what we're talking about, I think makes the most sense. I think those comments were under the radar pretty strong yesterday. They really were. You know, I know they didn't come out and say it, but from me and years of following football, being a quarterback, knowing coach talk a little bit, those are things that are going, we're looking for a guy that can do the things that a guy we have that doesn't do. I mean, you look at what they did last year, the year before, Justin Fields' end-of-the-game moments, right? That's not his forte right now. It's not the thing you go, whoa, you know, hey, he's a little rough around the edges, but at the end of the game, he's clutch as can be, right? That's the thing we haven't seen. And then you talk about, we're looking for somebody to stand in there and be a great pocket passer. Poles and Eberflus said the same thing about basically the quarterback needs to get better at that, right? So between all of that, the fact that he's not their guy, right? The fact that Ryan Poles came from Kansas City, the fact that from the little I've seen so far, Caleb Williams stands alone as the top quarterback in the draft, I just feel like it's going that way. The big question to me is, who besides Atlanta and Pittsburgh maybe, which I'm not sold on Pittsburgh and the Justin Fields thing yet, is really going to get into the action of trading for him? That's going to be the big thing
to
me.
How about Washington?
I know. I wonder. Washington, the same thing, right? And some makes some sense, but new regime, right? Do they want to go with a guy that's kind of got, I don't want to, not a bad rep, but if people are like, oh, we're not sure yet, right? And there's a group out there that's still like, he's not a quarterback, he's just a runner and all those type of things. Do you want to set yourself up for that if you're Dan Quinn and company there?
But
that's a tough thing.
Who's the coordinator?
I know.
Kingsbury.
Yeah, that's right.
Do the air raid.
Yeah.
Justin Fields, you can run it a little bit, throw a little bit,
right.
See what his ceiling is. See, the thing is, we don't know what his ceiling is. The Bears are making the assessment.
Yeah.
If everything that we are interpreting from yesterday is true, they're making the assessment that they know where his ceiling is. And it's not franchise quarterback, guy who's going to put you in deep contention, guy who's going to potentially lead you to a Super Bowl. There's plenty of good quarterbacks out there that can play in the NFL for 5 or 10 years or longer and never win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They have an opportunity to draft a guy who possibly will be, and we don't know. You look back at the quarterbacks taken first overall in the past 50 years. For every guy that ends up taking to a Super Bowl, there's 3 or 4 of them that never get close to it. But they have a chance to roll the dice on Caleb Williams, and it feels like that's what they're going to do. But then you look to, and I think about when he was coming out, and I see Rick Spielman sitting over there. Rick Spielman was with the Vikings when he was coming out, and they were thinking about drafting him.
Yeah, right. Why'd your voice get low? You getting scared?
Because
of
I don't want to hear me. I don't want to hear me.
I don't
want
to tell him what you're saying.
So anyway, but he's been advising Washington. That's why
I'm
doing some dot connecting here. So you throw in Cliff Kingsbury, and if you can get him, look, it's only $3.2 million for this year.
Yeah,
it's $25.6 million under the fifth-year option next year.
Right.
I think part of it, too, is whoever acquires Justin Fields needs him to come through the door understanding he's got to prove himself. He can't expect a new contract right away.
Yeah.
Best he can hope for is you get traded and they pick up your fifth-year option.
Right.
You know you're going to make $25 million next year, which, when you look at the quarterback market, really isn't all that much.
Yeah.
But you go and have a good year. In 2024, you're going to get your financial reward in 2025.
No, I hear you there. I mean, there's positives. If you believe in the guy, right? And you know, I think me and you probably believe in him maybe more than the majority of the NFL or the public a little bit to a degree, right? But, yeah, I mean, that's a good deal if you go, wait, we think he is the guy and he could be the starting quarterback.
We've seen enough moments from him. And this is the thing that Peter King likes to say that Bill Walsh said, if I see a guy do something once, I can coach him to do it all the time.
Yeah, it's funny. My dad and I were talking about this
week. And so we've seen enough from Justin Fields that, like, there's something there.
Right.
Can you coach him to do it all the time?
Yeah.
And I think that if Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus had drafted Justin Fields, maybe
they're more invested.
Right. And here's the other side of it, too.
Yeah.
We were talking about this last night at dinner.
Right.
If you're a coach and a GM that might be in a little danger.
Yeah.
Might be in grave danger. Is there another kind?
Right.
And you draft Caleb Williams, you get 2 years.
Oh, you definitely.
You
definitely
buy yourself a little time.
You get a little cushion. No doubt about it.
There's something to be said for that, too. That's just the real world, I want to stay employed dynamic that is also at play.
Yeah,
so,
buys you a little cushion.
Yeah. Now watch. They'll end up trading the number one overall pick today.
We get to Washington, right? They're the number two pick. They got the pick of their litter.
Yeah.
They can do that.
Right. If they can take Drake May, they can take Jaden Daniels.
Exactly.
They can take Marvin Harrison Jr.
So, you're right. They could do that. You know, I think at the end of the day, they're sitting pretty there, though, at the quarterback position. They got receivers, right? That's something that you and I talked about a lot during the year. They got some firepower.
They have Marvin Harrison Jr.
No, they don't have Marvin Harrison Jr. I understand that. But it's a team that's got a lot of other holes, too, as well. And I look at it and go, it's kind of the point you made a few minutes ago. You said, well, yeah, Cliff Kingsbury. I just go, Justin Fields, that you're going to Cliff Kingsbury? I don't see that.
You think that works?
No, I don't think it does. I mean, again, Cliff Kingsbury, everything is throw the ball, boom, 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 boom. No running the ball. We don't have anything there. I mean, to me, that's not going to be Justin Fields' game. You want to have a little mixture. You want to have something.
Well, but Kyler Murray, I'm thinking what Kyler Murray did in Arizona.
I can see
Justin Fields doing some of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Quick read, get rid of the ball, don't hold on to it, don't have to make a ton of decisions.
Right.
Just boom, that guy, boom, this guy, boom, that guy. guy. So, and then run sometimes.
So we got Washington. We'll throw in there for the conversation.
Let's see if they'll put the
Pittsburgh,
the graphic back.
Pittsburgh, of course. I think we all think they're going to make a move to some degree. The one you come back to, though, is the one at the top of the list. It is Atlanta Falcons. They have a desperate need for the quarterback. They have an offensive, to me, personnel set that would fit a little bit more of Justin Fields and what he is. Dominant O-line, superstar running back. I can run the ball. He can run the ball. I can fake it to him. I can go that way. We can run boots. We got all these versatile talents, right? And then I think when you couple, hey, he's from the Atlanta area, right? There's that. And then I look at, again, I'm going to, look into Raheem Morris and the comments he made yesterday, right? Yeah. When he says something like, dude, we're looking for somebody for the best fit for our city. That, to me, is a little bit of an inkling of Justin Fields, and there's a lot of reasons that would make sense.
Don't take Chris's word for it, right, as if you ever would. Here's Raheem Morris from yesterday talking about what kind of quarterback they are looking for this year.
You want to go get the best fit for your people. You want to go get the best fit for your coaches. You want to go get the best fit for our city. And you want to do all those things. Like, there's nothing ruled out. People are going to read into those words, whatever, however they do those things, and you can't stop that.
Yep.
You know, obviously, there's people that are from Atlanta. There's people that from around Atlanta. You can name the mileage of how close some of the people are, but, you know, you got to do what's best and what's right for your team at the right time, and we won't rule out anything.
So that was Raheem Morris with Jonathan Jones yesterday.
He said it on two other networks, too, and he was more like best fit for our city. So it was a thing he said a few times.
Okay.
I didn't just see it on CBS Sports. I saw it on ESPN. I saw it one other time, too, where it was a totally different segment, and he was best fit for our city was the thing that he kept saying. Right.
And see, it's a combination of how do you play it strategically for whatever transaction you're going to make, and letting your fan base and the people who cover your team have an idea which way the wind is blowing.
Sure.
Some teams don't care about that aspect of it. I don't think the Vikings care about that aspect of it. I think the Falcons, clearly based upon Morris, if he said that more than once, if it wasn't just something he blurted out accidentally, if this was something they deliberately wanted to message, then is it Fields? Or, hey, Kirk Cousins'
wife. Well, Kirk Cousins has Atlanta.
Kirk Cousins' wife is
right.
from Alpharetta.
Right.
Her parents still live there.
Right.
And you can get Cousins
Yeah.
without having to give up anything.
I hear you. They're going to, they'll have to pay him some, probably a good chunk of change to get him. There's no doubt about that. You know, there is the Zach Robinson, the new OC, of course, from McVay. I'm sure he's heard a ton of stories about how awesome Kirk Cousins is, right? So just systematically, I do understand that, right? But if you're Raheem Morris, do you want to start off your career with going, hey, we got the 36-year-old guy who's got one Achilles tendon, and we're going to go with that in year one? I don't know if that's the move
either. He does have the second one, but it's just being torn.
I know.
And there is a there is, and it's not just anecdotal. I mean, scientifically, when you tear one, you're more susceptible to tearing the other.
Yeah.
Terrell Suggs tore one, tore the other.
Those were things
that
would scare
me. Now, that's anecdotal,
me.
But that's when he did, they said, hey, you're more susceptible.
Definitely. I mean, that's any of those lower leg injuries,
old
ACL,
man injury,
Achilles,
36,
right,
37.
You realize you compromise, things don't turn back on the right way and all those issues. So, again, I know there's that fit of best fit for our city, but I will again go, yeah, I know Kirk Cousins has some ties there, but it ain't Justin Fields, who also went to Georgia, is from Atlanta, and let's be real, too. He's African-American, and that is the African-American capital of our country, all right? And I know that when they had an African-American quarterback and people were all in it, like Michael Vick, that place was you've never seen anything like it, right? It was electric, right? And it brought the African-American fan base out, and that place was hopping. And I know that they would, and that's why Arthur Blank loved Michael Vick and all of that, the energy it created in that city. And I feel like Justin Fields could probably create some of that same energy there in Atlanta as well.
I'll say this, in recent years with that new stadium, even with the food that is good and not very expensive,
right,
and I loved being at
it
the
ain't
Super Bowl
packed.
There. I went out at halftime when the Super Bowl was there, and I bought every hot dog I could find because, are you kidding me? $2 hot dogs? Give me every hot dog you have. Anyway, the stadium's empty.
I know.
It's empty.
Right.
So they need something that's going to excite and that's going to connect and get people to come to that great facility. They're trying to get another Super Bowl. They want to have a good team. They want to have a place that's vibrant. I think they get more people for the soccer games than they do for the NFL games. I think they do. I think they do. I need to look into that, but I think I saw that somewhere. So because I think I saw it somewhere, that's enough for me to just blurt it out. Anyway, you mentioned the Steelers, too. Right. One thing I picked up last night, because I was working. It justifies the write-off for the dinner.
You had some, you know.
I had a couple heavy hitters.
You did have some heavy hitters. I'm not going to blow up your spot, but you ditched us for some heavy
hitters. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I wouldn't ditch you ordinarily, but I'd ditch you for this. But one of the things I picked up last night, the thing about the Steelers not wanting one of these guys is real.
Right.
As stupid as it sounds, they want to go Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph. What the hell? What are they thinking?
They're just, they're not a team that usually makes those type of aggressive moves. They believe in, hey, we got our guys in-house. There's a reason we got them here anyways. Draft, develop. They think they're part of the culture. They don't want to ruffle the feathers that way. A little bit of an old school mindset I think the Steelers have, right? And they're a team that, you know, I think Mike Tomlin, being a defensive coach, he's seen it done a lot of different ways where he doesn't make it all about the quarterback like we talk about, too. He's like, wait, wait, wait. The team's got a lot of issues here, right? And I do think, especially with his success, and this is where I'd go, oh, I wish you'd find an upgrade Mike Tomlin, because, you know, I think the fact that he can manage so many of these games and they pulled these games out of their butt all the time because of his coaching and the physicality they play with, I think he kind of looks at it like, hey, we don't need a superstar. We can get it done in a lot of different ways. But I don't think their team is there yet to make those type of guys look the way we all want them to look. So I'm with you, and I'm not totally sold on all that. I'm not sure that's not a little posturing, too.
Part of the conversation was, but that's the thing.
Yeah.
I'm talking to people who are talking to the people who aren't posturing.
Gotcha.
It's like, this is what we're going to do.
Right.
Like, not, hey, you know, because what – that's what I believe, that they really aren't going to do it.
I don't doubt that
at all.
If you
have Russell Wilson available, if he's truly going to take $1.2 million on a one-year deal, stick the Broncos with the rest because the Broncos owe him $39 million fully guaranteed minus the $1.21, how would you not bring in Russell Wilson instead of Kenny Pickett? At least let him compete. And that gets into the whole Broncos, will Russell Wilson be available? You and I firmly believe, and it really is, I'm not going to name names, but like, until as recently as late last week, people were saying, don't rule out Russell Wilson with the Broncos. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, I don't
rule it out.
Yeah.
Rule it out. He's not staying in Denver.
Payton, then.
He's going to be cut. First of all, Peyton's at the point where he's ready to move on to somebody else. And second of all, he's got that $37 million injury guarantee for 2025 that becomes fully guaranteed on March 17. He's never going to agree to delay that, and they're not going to commit another $37 million. That's not what Sean Payton does. Sean Payton has said on this program and elsewhere, when it comes to a team that has made a mistake, you don't double down.
Right.
You admit it, and you move on.
Yeah.
So they're going to take a big cap hit, more next year than this year, but they're moving on from it. That's just the way it goes. So anyway, let's hear from Sean Payton from yesterday on the timeline of the decision that will be made inevitably about Russell Wilson. Here he is.
I expect that we're going to know fairly quickly. I said it's the Super Bowl, but I think more specifically, I think you know, somewhere in the neighborhood next week, we're going to – there's a couple factors here. You know, obviously, the cap projections came out. We're further down the road with the draft class, obviously the pro free agents. So I would anticipate it being, you know, within the next 2 weeks. I saw this, like, humorous meme the other day where there was a Bronco fan with a shirt on and there was, like, eight quarterbacks' names with a cross through it, you know, and he's drinking the quarterback Kool-Aid. And, you know, our job is to make sure that this next one, you know, doesn't have a line through it.
Well, there have been a lot of quarterbacks in Denver since Peyton Manning, when you think about it. It is almost like the Browns in that classic shirt that went all the way down one column and then into another column.
Well, didn't he just say the next one? I mean, didn't he
the
just
next
tell
one?
Us?
Well, And look, there's no way. That's a great point. Good catch. There's no way they're keeping Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
There's no way in hell.
I don't see it.
And
at this
in the
point.
Next couple of weeks, look.
Right.
They
the way Russell Wilson handled the whole situation, I think some of the things he said, that just goes against everything we know Sean Payton likes, respects, right? The play, all of that. And then the money and all those type of things, I think, yes, well, I'm with you there.
Mischaracterizing things that the Broncos said to him.
Right.
Mischaracterizing the way the NFL
handled it. He made a
comment
about the injury
guarantee. They wanted me to waive my injury guarantee. They never wanted him to give up his injury guarantee. Right. They wanted him to delay the date on which the injury guarantee becomes a full guarantee because they didn't want him to get injured at some point down the stretch in 2023. If you can't pass a physical by the day that that guarantee flips to full,
so move that
you're
back.
Stuck.
Right.
So they wanted to move it back.
Right.
So if he did get injured, he still had the injury protection, but they have more time before it's fully guaranteed.
Right.
That's what the whole purpose of it was when it first came up. But it got twisted around, and he talks about it, and a guy who's a Bill Parcells disciple is not going to look kindly on that. And even without that, if Russell Wilson isn't going to agree to delay that contractual term that was put in there for his benefit, they're going to cut him.
Yeah.
And the reason why it's going to be the next couple of weeks, they need to do a post-June 1 release. You can't do a post-June 1 release until after the league year begins.
Yeah, right.
That's the key.
Right.
So if they cut him now, they're taking the full cap charge, and it's more than $80 million next year. If they wait until March 13, they can do post-June 1, and that makes it easier this year, bigger next year. But with the cap going up, see, that makes it easier to say we're going to rip off the Band-Aid, and maybe they'll have some cap space left over to go get a veteran quarterback.
There's going to be options. And I think with Sean Payton, his offense, his confidence in himself, right, what his offense can do, I wouldn't be shocked to see them draft a quarterback, do anything along those lines, get a one- or two-year Band-Aid type of guy that he feels like can run his offense to, you know, the best capabilities of anybody that's out there. And then, okay, we'll figure it out as we go with the guy they draft this year or somebody else. But I don't think he's going to be scared to do that. I think the bottom line is, with Russell Wilson and all that, there's a guy that could not run his entire offense. There's no point in having Sean Payton, like we said back in the day, right, when this all came about, where I went, there's no point in having Sean Payton and paying him $18 million a year, and we're going to run the same 10 pass plays all the time. You don't need Sean Payton to do that. Sean Payton, the greatness of him is he can throw 90 million plays and rules and checks at you, and if the quarterback can do all that stuff at the line of scrimmage and handle all that, you're going to be in a successful position almost 98% of the time as a quarterback for Sean Payton, right? We know Drew Brees was that. He had backups behind Drew Brees who used to come in and tear it up as well. We saw that. Right. So once he starts to get guys that he knows fit his system and can understand what he's coaching all the time and doing that, that's when the greatness of Sean Payton comes out.
And look, something that you said at or about the time that Wilson was benched for Jared Stidham, when you watch the Broncos play.
Exactly.
Pre-snap, Russell Wilson didn't do any of that stuff.
No.
That we see other quarterbacks do.
No.
Where you're directing traffic,
right.
52 is the mic.
Right.
First of all, it's taken him a while to get the play in anyway.
Exactly,
that was an
right.
issue with Nathaniel Hackett.
Yep.
It was an issue again this year.
Right.
With
it was
Sean
an issue
Payton.
In Seattle.
It limits the amount of time that you have to assess. When there's a certain truth about let Russ cook.
Yeah.
Russ wants to cook on the fly.
Yeah,
Russ
right.
wants the
right.
ball
wants
in
to
his
drop
hands.
Back. He wants to look at the
Russ
rush.
Russ wants to
and
make magic.
A move. Right.
Yeah. He wants to cook.
Right.
Post snap,
yeah,
he isn't all that interested in lining up the
yeah,
ingredients.
He doesn't want to dice up the onions,
exactly.
And do all that stuff.
He just wants
right.
to throw it all in the pot
right.
and go. Let's
right.
go, baby.
Right.
And I think that is the basic, fundamental, ultimate reason why it's not working and why there's going to be a change. Before we take a break,
yeah,
of the available guys Ooh. Who have playing experience,
right.
who stands out, if anyone, as a Sean Payton guy.
I know, you know, and I need to think about this more. But I look at like. Guys are like Ryan Tannehill. I would not be shocked to go, oh, okay, that guy can run the offense and do the things he likes to do. There's, I think, going to be maybe a chance at Mac Jones, right? Who else am I missing out there that we've talked about that could be
Cousins
available?
Doesn't fit there, does he?
I mean, Cousins he, would
it's
fit.
It's too much. It's
I mean,
too much.
I would think that'd be a lot to have the Russell hit, and then if Kirk Cousins is looking for something market type, that's going to be. But he certainly would fit that offense. He would.
I think Payton.
He's a poor man's Drew Brees in a lot of ways.
But I think Payton would be far more drawn to the idea of finding a guy who is perceived as a failure and turning him into a star.
I hear you there.
Like he did with Drew Brees.
Right. Right.
Drew Brees was not a no-brainer, got to sign this guy, and all your problems
no,
are answered. He
exactly
had a messed
right.
up shoulder. It was him and the Dolphins. The Dolphins, he wanted to sign with Miami, and the Dolphins said, well, at least the Dolphins doctor. Remember the doctor who, as Nick Saban said, didn't know his ass from a bag of sand? That
right.
doctor said, we can't sign this guy.
Right.
So this was all reclamation rehab. And I think if you want to win the PR battle long term against anyone who would say Sean Payton didn't know how to coach Russell Wilson, Sean Payton was the problem, not Russell Wilson. If you bring in a guy who's embattled, who has struggled, who is perceived to have failed elsewhere, and you turn him into a great quarterback, you prove that you were the one who was right.
Yeah.
You know how to find a quarterback
right.
and make him work within your system.
No, I think there's some validity to what you're saying there and what a coach thinks and how he thinks that way. Definitely.
Who was telling us yesterday about the whole idea? Because we talked to so many different people. I can't remember. You don't want the quarterback to jump off the high dive on every play. Wasn't that a Peyton thing?
Yes.
Who was saying it?
Oh, gosh. Who was saying that to us?
Somebody was saying it.
Well,
I just can't remember who.
I can't remember, too, either.
That you want to make it easy for
right.
the quarterback.
Well, it doesn't need to be, you know, like what we talk about with Josh Allen sometimes. He's always on the high dive, and we're like, what's he going to do? Is he going to do the triple gainer here or whatever?
Triple Indy.
Triple Indy, right. You know, is he going to do that, or is he going to do nine backflips and – Yeah, well, who the heck was it? But at the end of the day, the point was, how about we? Oh, it was Kevin O'Connell, I think, wasn't it?
I don't think it was him.
No, it wasn't.
I'd remember that.
He was making the point.
I remember everything Kevin O'Connell
said.
Let's
not make the quarterback be a hero, you know, 50 times a game. How about we just, you know, execute the offense and you got to be a hero like 3 times a game, right?
It might have been Brian Callahan.
Yeah, it might have been Brian Callahan.
Well, you know what? We'll find out because
he's coming up next.
We're playing Brian Callahan's interview from yesterday before the roller coaster ride started when we went live for 3 hours. We talked to the new Titans head coach, Brian Callahan. You'll hear him next, and you'll find out, as will we, whether or not he's the one that talked about not having the quarterback jump off the high dive. More PFT Live right after this.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Save big money on everything now at Menards. Make quick work of your outdoor cleaning project with Masterforce outdoor and landscaping tools. The 80-volt cordless trimmer is powerful, efficient, and hassle-free, so you spend less time working on your yard and more time enjoying the results. On sale now through May 19th. Check out our wide selection of Masterforce tools and see the rest of our deals on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Our coverage of the 2024 Scouting Combine continues here from Indianapolis. Joining us now, the brand new head coach of the Tennessee Titans via the Cincinnati Bengals. He is Brian Callahan. Brian, congratulations on the new job. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Good.
Where's your Titans gear?
Oh, I've always been a non-logo guy.
He's got a lot of money now, so he's like, I'll buy designer stuff. I don't need this Titan stuff.
This is my grace. I try to stay
incognito, right? Yeah, it's good. That's a way to do it.
Don't want to walk down the street. All right. So, I mean, the process, right? You know, you're taking interviews. I know you did a little last year, right? But this year, kind of just take us through what went down, how it all shook out with the Titans here.
Yeah, it was great. It
happened so fast.
It did.
Right.
I had 4 interviews with a couple of teams on Zoom that kind of first round.
Yeah.
And then I had three set up, including the Titans, for the following week when we were allowed to interview. But I had a kind of an immediate connection with Rand Carthon and Amy. Just everything about the building felt great.
Yeah.
It was a place that I felt like I wanted to be. And then when I got there in person that Monday, it confirmed all the things that I felt. And so it happened really fast. I wanted them. They wanted me. And it worked out great.
You got a young, talented quarterback, right? Will Levis. I mean, I think
we were all severely
impressed. Right? Yes. I exceeded my expectations coming out in the draft. What do you take from, you know, your Burrow tutelage and everything you went with him and him being a superstar and, you know, apply this to Will Levis now?
I've been fortunate to be around a lot of good quarterbacks. Yeah. And so to have the ability to take all those experiences and try to help Will. But I think the most important part for Will is that he just is Will.
Yeah.
And I can use a lot of things to help and offer advice and things that other guys have done, but ultimately it's going to be what he's most comfortable with and what he does the best. But, man, he's competitive, he's tough, he's talented. I'm excited to work with him.
Yeah, when you watched film of him, what kind of popped to you where you're like, oh, man?
You see his intensity and his energy.
Right.
I think he really wants to be a great player. He plays really hard. I think you felt that team buy into his demeanor, his style. Over the course of the second half of the season, and he's got talent on top of it.
Right.
I mean, he's got great feet. He's a great athlete. His release is really quick. He's accurate. He's got things to improve on, but they're all things that are very improvable.
Yeah,
Brian. One of the issues last year with him though was he was a little too energetic. He did a little too much. Mike Vrabel had to try to reel it in a little bit. How do you strike that balance? You come from a place where the quarterback's been injured a few times. How do you keep a guy active when it comes to possibly taking off down the field, but also find a way to keep him healthy?
Be smart. You know, I think it's important for quarterbacks. He's a young player, hasn't played a lot yet, but he has to understand that the franchise rides on his shoulders too. And so for everyone to have success, he has to be available and has to be playing. And so there's a time and a place to be smart about where you put your body at risk. When it's 3rd and 10 to win a game and you got to go dive to get a first down or put your shoulder down, then that's probably the place for it. But 1st and 10 in the first quarter, you can probably get down or get out of bounds. Maybe throw it away even.
Yeah. I hear that. Will you go through the process of, you know, teaching Will Levis through Joe Burrow a little bit? Like, will you hit those cut-ups and you'll use that to kind of tutelage in the new offense?
That'll be the starting point.
Yeah.
And you hope that pretty quickly as you get through OTAs, you're using a lot more of your own film as you get into training camp. But, yeah, that's a starting point. Obviously, 5 years of experience there with that offense. And we still got to figure out what we're good at, too. And we're going to look a little different than Cincinnati probably when it's all said and done.
Okay, that's what I wanted to ask you. That was my next question. Well, thank you for leading me there.
Got it.
Your offensive style, how would you say that out loud to all of us and our viewers?
Yeah, I think that ultimately one of the things that Tennessee's been known for over its tenure in Nashville has been a toughness and a physicality that
running the ball
has been part of it. And we'll still do that. Obviously, I have a line coach that likes to be physical and run the football.
Yeah, right. Dad's there.
Yeah, but I think in today's game, you have to be able to pass the ball effectively. You have to have a balance between a vertical threat game and being able to have that controlled, patient passing game, which is, I think, one of the things we did really well in Cincinnati. But there's a mix, and I think ultimately when you're talking about good offenses in this league, the best ones throw the ball really well, and so we're trying to get to that point.
So it'll look Cincinnati-ish, but you're going to have your own spin on it.
We will have our own spin, and we'll have we have different players than we had in Cincinnati, so we have to find ways to put those guys in a good spot and let them have success.
Right. On that point, I heard something last night, and I decided to file away because I knew I was going to be talking to you today. Derrick Henry, is he part of the future for the Tennessee Titans as he prepares to become a free agent?
Yeah, he is a free agent. He's going to probably go through that process. We're still getting through all the free agency plan and process we're going to have. But as I've said before, I'm not against good players. He fits any offense, I think, in the league. He's been a fantastic face of the Titans for a long time now. And so if there's something that we can work out, I certainly am open to that possibility. Obviously, it's a two-way street as well. So
you want to give him the chance to see what else is out there, though, before you would get into it?
I think he feels that it's probably where he's headed to start. And then, but we'll have those conversations as we move forward. He'll be in the loop, and we'll talk to him as it opens up and gets started.
You brought up your father. I want to ask you about it. I mean, I don't know if everybody knows, but your dad is, in my opinion, him, Steve Scarnecchia, are like the best offensive lineman coaches the last 20 years. When you got the job, were you like, no doubt I want dad? Or is there thinking like, oh, I don't know, maybe it's not a good look if I bring dad in on the coaching staff? Like, how do you kind of, you know, juggle that in your
brain?
That's
an interesting question because he was actually the year before, as I was in the interview process, we had sort of come to the agreement that we wouldn't go down that road. That he loved being in Cleveland. He loved working for Kevin Stefanski. He loved his room there, those linemen there. And so that wasn't on the cards that first time around. And so the way it worked out this time is I think it became much more real in the moment. And as I'm going for the press conference, and he's watching me on TV, I think he had a moment where he's like, you know, I think I would like to do this. And we had had conversations, but I just had assumed to start that
what he said last year
was
what
was held up.
Yeah, right.
And I said, obviously, I'd love to have you if you want to do this, but there's a dynamic there that you have to be mindful of, and we had to talk through all the, you know, possibilities and ups and downs, and because that's the way pro football is.
I'm the boss now, Dad. You can't be telling me things like you're the boss. I'm the boss.
I'll say this: there's nobody bossing him around, which is a good thing. He's as good at his job as anybody in football. But it's been a dream come true for me to be able to work with my dad.
What's the first thing you can't wait to say to your dad? You want to throw some four-letter words at him at practice? Like, hey, Dad, what the hell are you doing?
No, the cool part is, we get along really, really well,
right.
And so our day-to-day process is really fun. I get to go have a cup of coffee with him in the morning, and I'll talk about what I got going on for the day and where we need to go offensively, and we talk about all the nitty-gritty things that line coaches like to talk about.
Right.
But it's been awesome. I've really enjoyed every second of it.
Yeah, good for you, man.
What drew you to the family business to make you want to do what your dad does?
That's a good question. I just never knew any different. When I finished playing, I knew I wanted to be, and I was not a good football player. I was very average, but on a good day, I just knew I wanted to be around football because I've been around it my whole life. And I GA'd at UCLA for 2 years, and at the end of that, I was going to decide if I wanted to continue coaching or go a different direction.
Right.
And I just decided that I got bit by the bug. I loved it. I love the relationships. I love working with players. I love the chess match, the schematics, all those things appealed to me, and really enjoyed it. And so I said, you know, I think this is what I'm going to do, and I told my mom, and she was about ready to disown me, but it's worked out.
You're selling yourself short, too. Average quarterbacks don't play at UCLA.
Yeah, right.
They play
at
Texas, not at UCLA.
Yeah. So, I was a walk-on.
See what they got to deal with?
Yeah, I get it. I get it.
I mean, geez, this guy over here.
Something.
He flustered me now. But when you look at your team, right, and you guys are kind of, I don't want to say rebuild, but you had to retool a little bit. Is there one specific area you look at to go, this has got to improve right here?
I think we just need to keep adding as many good players as we can add, whether it's in free agency or the draft. Try to up the competition at every position and add guys that can help us score points. I mean, obviously, it's been a thing that you have to score points in the NFL,
right.
And there hasn't been enough of those. And so that's my job to do that. And I think I'm really excited about Denard Wilson, our defensive coordinator, and the staff that we put together on defense. I think they're going to do a great job. They got great energy, great personality, but the more good players we can add, the better. I think it's been a competitive team for a long time. I think they lost 7-1 score games last year, so it's not like they're far away from being competitive. We just got to keep adding to it.
Yeah. Last thing, I know you got to go, but I got to ask you this just because I'm a fan. We're all a fan of the guy. I mean, Joe Burrow, what's something that we don't know about Joe that makes him so great or the guy he is?
Oh, I love everything about him.
Yeah. So do I.
Obviously. But I think the cool thing about Joe is he is everything that you see him as. There's no pretense.
Yeah, right.
He's very genuine. He's very genuine. What he is he's authentic to who he is as a person, and he's like that all the time.
Right.
And then one of the things that he has that I don't think anybody has is he's got this incredible spatial awareness of what's happening on the field. I've never seen anybody like it.
Yeah.
Who just can feel and know and see in the moment. Exactly.
I call
what's
him a
happening.
Slippery son of a bitch all the time.
He moves. And he does. He does.
Yeah. But I love everything about him. Obviously, I'm sitting here largely because of how he's played. And, that's not lost on me. And I'm very thankful for my time with him.
And what else he does, too, that impresses us, when it's playoff time, he accesses a higher level real quickly. When you get to a playoff game and you get to overtime and you win the coin toss, are you taking the ball or are you kicking it?
I mean, obviously, everything would say right now that you'd kick. But I can't say that would be my answer 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, so. Right. I hear you. No, it's a tough – it's a legitimate question.
Yeah. Everything would say odds-wise that it's negligible probably at the end of the day, but it put a spotlight on how you approach that.
And yeah.
We'll all be having those conversations all offseason.
Quarterback on the other side, I think, has a big say in that, too.
Sure does.
Right? Oh, it's Mahomes 15? Yeah, we'll kick it.
Sure does.
Hey, Ryan, congratulations again.
Thank
it's great
much.
To talk to you. We hope to talk to you again real soon, and we can't wait to see what the Titans do this year.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.
We'll be back with more from the Combine right after this. Indiana Convention Center in the background. That is where everything has been happening this week so far. The workouts start at some point.
I don't know when, because we aren't allowed in Lucas Oil Stadium.
I think it's tomorrow, right?
We are allowed in Indiana Convention Center, and we are here. We're going to have some defensive line, edge rusher, and linebacker prospects coming up in the
second
hour.
Some ballers coming out. I mean, some ballers. Some guys that we're definitely going to dominate the news cycle here, you know, as far as the first two round, you know, type of defense and pass rusher. So I'm excited to size them up.
We don't know what these guys are going to do in the NFL, right. But there was a time when we're getting ready for the scouting combine, and Chris Jones was one of the prospects.
That's right.
Chris Jones had a wardrobe malfunction when he was running.
Oh, that's right.
The 40, speaking of ballers coming out.
Speaking of Peacock.
But I digress. We never know where those stars of tomorrow are going to come from.
Right.
And when they get into the NFL, it's time to get compensated once you perform. So,
one thing I'll say with this, just real hit on that a little bit, just real quick before we get to it. The D linemen are one of those where, you know, you can look at a little bit. And the eye test does have some value, right?
How so?
Well, right, not that every guy that looks like a freak is always comes in as a freak, but there is something to that, right, where you just go, whoa, he looks different, he's got a chance. But I would say more on the other side. You know, and I'm not going to bring up names. People that we work with know, they've heard me say this, but there's been guys in the past where as soon as they walk on stage and I see their body,
you can scratch
them off. He's not going to be what everybody thinks. It's not going to be the 25th pick superstar guy that everybody thinks. No way, right? There's a body type, and I know it's not totally foolproof, but there's things you see with guys where you go, that's not going to work in the NFL.
Is that more interior or exterior?
More exterior, I think, than interior. But, yeah, there's been a few guys over the last years where, hey, he's a first-round pick, defensive pass rusher, blah, blah, blah. And I go, man, I saw his body. That I don't think that's going to be able to last the
test
of time.
What is it that gives you away? I mean, what is it?
Because
like we were talking about Max Crosby earlier.
Right.
Max Crosby doesn't – he's not all jacked up.
No,
but he's got that
– but it's broad shoulders and a big frame, and it's long, right?
Yeah.
So that's like, okay, he's got a chance. It's the guys that sometimes you look at and you go, man, it's kind of narrow-shouldered, and it's a little bit thinner in the waist, and there's not a pop in the – ass and legs department where you'd go that, you know, hey, when you're coming around the edge and there's a 330-pound tackle leaning on you, you know, when you have legs like a Nick Bosa or whatever, that George Karlaftis in the Super Bowl, whatever, that helps, right? And I think those are things that I get excited to watch. I didn't mean to get us off
topic. No, that's good.
There,
no, I like it. I like it. I'm trying to figure out how this all works, and you want to be able to, and this is what the teams are doing is they eyeball these guys who are the ones that are going to project to being capable in the NFL and which ones aren't. So the Chiefs have a couple of capable defensive players who are up for free agency. Chris Jones, they could franchise tag him. It would be over $32 million if they do. Legarius Sneed, great corner. They could tag him as well. You only have one tag to use. Here is Brett Veach, general manager of the Chiefs from yesterday, talking about the hope that they can re-sign both Jones and Sneed.
The more you win, I mean, the more you got to pay players. And obviously, when you have this amount of success, you're paying a lot of players a lot of money, and then it's equally as tough because you're drafting late. So there's challenges. We'll go through them, and we'll always put our best foot forward. Certainly want to do what we can to try to keep both those players, and that's going to be our goal and intent. Hopefully we're able to figure something out, but every free agency is different, unique, and crazy. And so, but our, you know, we do have one tag, and I anticipate probably using it to help us, but I think our goal is to try to get both those players done and then work down the rest of our roster.
Reportedly, the Chiefs are prepared to tag Legarius Sneed, and they could tag him and trade him.
Yeah.
That would mean either getting Chris Jones signed or risking that he becomes a free agent.
Right.
And see, the problem with tagging Jones, if you tag him at $32.16 million, he's been tagged before by the Chiefs.
Right.
Before he did his long-term deal, they tagged him. So next year's tag would be a 44% bump over $32 million by rule.
Right.
So how do you even begin to negotiate a long-term deal off the tag? That's the problem. And it's almost like they need to let Chris Jones see what his market is. Like what the Vikings are doing with Kirk Cousins.
Right.
We know what we're willing to spend. We need you to come to the conclusion that that is the right amount for you. And if that means exposing him to free agency and running the risk of someone saying, we're willing to pay this guy a premium just to get him the hell away from the Chiefs, which used to be a thing.
Yeah.
I remember when there was almost like this unspoken understanding
in NFL circles early in the life cycle of free agency to just break up the Cowboys.
Yeah, right.
Pay whatever you have to pay to get another one of these guys off the Cowboys.
Yeah, right.
Let's just end the Cowboys.
Yeah.
So I think that's the risk they're taking, that someone is going to say, okay, we're going to break the bank for Chris Jones, even though he's maybe got two. Who knows? I don't want to sell him short.
Yeah.
Maybe he can play deep into his 30s. There's only so much a human body can take, though, of all the pounding, especially in the interior aspect of it. But if somebody says, we are determined to make this guy not a Chief, even if it hurts us, we're getting this guy away from the Chiefs.
Yeah, it's really an interesting topic. I think there's a lot of different ways it can go. I think the one thing I look at is, I feel like, one, if you're just going to, like, finding Chris Jones of the world, to me, is harder than finding the L'Jarius Sneeds of the world. That would be the first thing I would say. Just to find a 330-pound absolute monster freak in the middle of your defense does not happen a lot. It's hard, right? I'm not saying it's easy to find the L'Jarius Sneeds of the world, but I do think it's easier than trying to find a game-changing, game wrecker in the interior part of the D-line. There's value there. Let alone he's a pillar of their franchise history now, period. Right? I mean, he's an all-time great in the history of the game, and he is definitely one of the greatest Kansas City Chiefs players ever. I think he understands that. Last year, he took kind of a hometown deal to kind of make it all happen.
It was so weird. He held out and missed a game and then just kind of folded the tents.
So I feel like with the Chris Jones, and I think he's very aware of what he's a part of in Kansas City, and this is where I think they're going to try to thread the needle, as you always say, of – hey, maybe they can get Chris Jones short-term type of deal with a good chunk of money, but nothing that kills them as a football team. And I think that he's aware of that. And then you do whatever you got to do with L'Jarius Sneed, whether that's franchise tag him. My point with L'Jarius Sneed is, hey, he's really awesome, but they have a depth at corner. They got players at corner, right? I mean, we know McDuffie's an all-pro corner. The other two guys they got coming up the ranks here, and this is where Veach and Andy Reid are awesome, Jalen Washington and Joshua Williams, they can play some corner too. So to me, like, there's wiggle room at that position for Kansas City, I guess is what I'm trying to say. As compared to, like, you lose Chris Jones, I go, who the hell are you putting in there?
You can trade Tyreek Hill and you can reconfigure your offense. You can't let Chris Jones go and say, oh, we'll reconfigure our defense.
We'll
play defense differently.
Exactly.
You need him in the middle. And I think, and remember, after the parade and rally, obviously the news cycle was dominated by the tragedy there that happened right at the end of the rally, but we did eventually play the Chris Jones sound.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm staying this year, next year, and the year after.
Right.
It made me think they were already down the road toward a three-year extension. No, it was just Chris Jones having a little bit of what Travis Kelce was having that day and speaking the truth.
Talk into existence.
The ultimate truth serum.
Right.
A few beers or a few more. Yeah, carrying around
Start.
The bottle of 42 like Matthew Stafford, and the truth comes out.
Right.
So it's hard once that's out there to walk it back, because the Chiefs understand this guy. Look, if you leave Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes is no longer your teammate.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
You're not going to be in a position to have these huge games in the Super Bowl, to make your legacy, to earn a spot in Canton. If he hasn't already, maybe he already has.
Yeah,
but if you go somewhere else and the team struggles, it makes it harder.
Yeah. And don't you think it puts more pressure? I mean, I think there's more pressure on Kansas City around the Chris Jones conversation now because of kind of the things you just said. I mean, he's kind of a Hall of Famer now. It's period. It's like that's what he is. He's one of the best defensive tackles of our era. He's, in fact, other than Aaron Donald, you'd go, it's Chris Jones. Of the last 10 years, he's the guy that's been kicking butt around football. You know, I do feel like there'd be more backlash, right, from the Kansas City fan base if Chris Jones goes somewhere and still kicks butt and they have issues as compared to the other scenario of L'Jarius Sneed, right?
I think you're right.
You know what I mean? They're going to be like, what? We let go one of the greatest players in our franchise history. Look at all the big plays he made in big moments. We're letting him go. I feel like there's more of a political backlash there with Chris Jones than there would be L'Jarius Sneed.
And they may be thinking the risk of Sneed going somewhere else and making us look bad isn't as great because you put him in a system that doesn't have that kind of pressure up front from a Chris Jones.
You don't have Spags. Work. And we got guys that got talent.
And look, the teams have their resources. They have their information. But last night, one of the things I picked up at dinner was...
Oh, look at you. Johnny Investigator.
I'm not saying that this definitely is an issue. But if you're going to trade for L'Jarius Sneed, you just better check the medical, especially in the knee area.
Oh, I got you.
You got to check that. Make
issues.
Sure you're okay with
yeah,
that.
Okay.
I don't want to hurt the player's opportunity to get paid.
Yeah.
But that's part of what I picked
that's
up.
Percolating
yeah,
out
that
there
may be a medical thing.
Yeah.
And that
right.
may be why the Chiefs aren't
yeah, all in on it.
All in.
Right.
And that they're willing to tag and trade.
Right.
Because
well,
somebody else will take him on and not worry about that potential red flag, so be it.
They're one of the greatest teams we've ever seen. It's hard now to trim the fat, right, like they say, right? And this is one where we just heard Brett Veach talk about, you know, hey, it's tough. You know, teams want to overpay for our guys. We draft late in the first round. Well, here's a guy that we know is really damn good. Again, I voted for L'Jarius Sneed to be all pro. But at some point, you just can't have everybody, right? And that's why, hey, Veach and Andy Reid have been so special. They've drafted well. So they got to kind of believe in that process. They're not going to be able to sign everybody back in free agency that was their own draft pick at one point. And this one, hey, you know, franchise them, tag them, whatever else. And then, hey, maybe we get a second round pick for a guy like L'Jarius Sneed. You know, that's a big boost for a team like Kansas City who's, you know, strapped in that category a little bit.
All right, we got to take a break. When we return, it is time to talk to some of the guys
big boys.
Who are making their introduction to the NFL, and they are forced to deal with us on the way in.
They don't even know
maybe
what they're
they will
into
do something
NFL,
else with their lives with after dealing with us. More PFT Live right after this.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.